How about that breakthrough in fusion technology we heard about yesterday? Scientists announcing after decades of work, they'd successfully caused a fusion reaction that generated more power than the experiment consumed, with the potential to revolutionize clean energy. Eureka! But then, the fine print, it will take decades more to reach that goal. Is that in part because we love those eureka moments but have become inattentive to what must follow to bring a discovery to reality? Or, as our friend Derek Thompson writes, Americans invented the first nuclear reactor, the solar cell, the microchip, but were behind other countries in deploying and improving them. Derek is a staff writer at The Atlantic. His huge new piece is titled Why the Age of American Progress Ended. Derek, welcome.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And you thread through this piece the incredible story of the invention of the smallpox vaccine, which stalked the earth 10,000 years ago, and then people began learning to inoculate themselves by putting some of the fluid from a pustule, you know, on themselves, getting a small infection, but also immunity. An English aristocrat picked up on this idea. A farmer in 1796, named Edward Jenner, expanded on it, and then Eureka. You know, but the story goes on and on. What's your point in telling it?
I think that many stories of science and technology stop at the moment of Eureka. The way that we teach the history of science and technology to children, or the way that we even teach it among adults in best-selling books, it often ends at that Eureka moment. So we'll say, you know, Edison invented the light bulb in 1879, and the Wright brothers invented the airplane in 1903, and we stop the story there. Mm. And the point of my article is that that represents what I call the Eureka theory of progress, that progress is just a matter of inventing one thing and then inventing another thing and another thing. But go back to that smallpox story. In 1796, when the first boy, James Phipps, was inoculated for smallpox by the physician, Edward Jenner, there were 1 billion people in the world, and only one of them had been vaccinated. That's not progress. That's just a 0-to-1 moment. Progress, as I define it, is the 1-to-1 billion moment of deploying a technology, spreading it throughout the world, making its distribution fair and equitable and safe and reliable. Right. And to go back to the fusion example, that is the real progress challenge before us. It's fantastic to have breakthroughs. It's fantastic to have eureka moments, but that is not the full story of progress, right? Not just invention, but also implementation.
Well, and you say the U.S. has become the world's R&D factory, research and development, but when it comes to tweaking and building and scaling up, we're going backwards, in part because government and government policy has become something of a no-no, you say. Give the example of solar.
Solar is a great example. The first solar cell, the first modern solar cell made with silicon, was invented in the U.S. in 1954 by scientists at Bell Labs. The U.S. absolutely had the technological edge on solar, and we basically gave it away to Europe and to China and Taiwan because we did not have policies to scale what we had built. We simply assumed that, oh, well, we've invented it, so of course we'll be the world leader in it forever. And we just weren't. The technological edge left America because we didn't have a plan for implementation as clear as our policies were for invention. And I just see this story over and over again. You think about the fact that the U.S. doesn't build enough houses. We don't have enough affordable housing for people. Well, guess what was invented in America? Skyscrapers and elevators. What we need are more tall buildings, more apartments for people to live in metro areas. We invented the technology, but here again, we do not build it.
Well, but you know, you say that this is also a cultural thing because opposition can come from the left and the right of the spectrum in America. You've got people on the left who maybe for environmental reasons don't want more housing, more building, more nuclear power plants. You've got people on the right who didn't want vaccines. And so, you know, how does this change for you so that a government can be more involved, there can be more government policies and more of a sense of, hey, we need to carry this across the finish line?
It's a critical question, and it's a very difficult question because the U.S. faces an astonishing trust gap. That's what I call it in the piece, a trust gap. Trust in just about every single institution in America is declining. You look at trust in government, trust in unions, trust in companies, trust in each other. It's all going down. It's going down among both parties. It's going down particularly among the Republican Party, but it's going down across the board. And to a certain extent, if I can sort of very quickly try to diagnose
it. Very quickly, yeah.
I think that a lot of Americans suffer from a kind of scarcity mindset. We are so obsessed with us getting ahead and others falling back. I want to shift us into an abundance mindset to see that when we build more houses, when we build more clean energy, when we build more transmission lines to take the solar energy from the sunny parts of the country to the less sunny parts, everybody wins. But we need this new attitude of everybody wins, this new abundance mindset to overcome the trust gap.
We're just going to stay on that and think about that for a moment. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, will link you to this huge article, Why the Age of American Progress Ended, at hereandnow.org. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.